Welcome to Season 2, Episode 13 of Des Moines Backstage, the Central Iowa Theater Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Bocart. Today we sat down with the cast and director who are involved with Iowa Stage Theater Company's production of The Flick, which runs November 10th through the 19th at the Des Moines Social Club's Come and Go Theater. For more information on this production, you can visit iowastage.org. This episode was recorded on Tuesday, October 31st, at Iowa Stage's rehearsal space in downtown Des Moines. Now, let's go backstage.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines backstage.
Backstage.
Des Moines backstage.
Des Moines backstage.
Des Moines backstage.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
Theater podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Des Moines backstage.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Des Moines backstage.
Des Moines backstage. The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Okay, welcome to Des Moines Backstage, the Central Iowa Theater Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Bocart. Today we're sitting here with some of the cast. Is this some of the cast or all of the cast?
This is all of the cast.
All of the cast and the director of The Flick, presented by Iowa Stage Theater Company, which is opening November 10th and runs till the 19th down at the Come and Go Theater at the Des Moines Social Club. How's everybody doing today?
Good, Kyle.
Good.
Fantastic.
Got some newbies here. Got some returnees.
Yeah. A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, right? Well, happy to have you here.
A gambit.
That's right. Well, let's go around the table and have you guys introduce yourselves just so my listeners know who all is here.
My name is Michael Harris. I'm playing the part of Sam.
I'm Sean Wilson. I'm the director.
I am Clifton Antoine. I'm playing the role of Avery.
I'm Michael Klinkscales. I'm Skylar and the Dreaming Man.
And I'm Katja Seeschultz, and I'm playing Rose.
Great. Thank you. Well, Sean, is this a pretty new play?
It's a very new play.
Yeah.
I think it won the Pulitzer in 2014.
Definitely won the Pulitzer because it says right on the cover.
It says right on the script. It won the Pulitzer. It's a great script by Annie Baker, and she just won the MacArthur Genius Grant, you know.
That's a big deal.
So she's won the Pulitzer, and she's like 12. I don't know how. She's not very old.
She's a wonderkind.
She is a wonderkind, honestly. To win the Pulitzer and the MacArthur Genius Grant to be that young, what's that? They won an Obie Award. Yeah, so it's a, you know, yeah, it's a new play.
The Obie is the one named after Alec Guinness, right?
Sure.
Because he's Obi-Wan.
Let's go with that.
Anyway, tell us what The Flick is about.
So The Flick is about, it's a group of kind of younger folk that mostly range in their 20s. There's one guy who's 30, but he's a loser. And they all work in... they all work in this movie theater. And so basically it's just kind of a slice of life of what it's like to, you know, have one of those, you know, minimum wage jobs every day and all the people that work those jobs, you know, and with a whole lot of other stuff kind of thrown in. So, but mostly it's a slice of life play. I think it's like an updated Chekhov, really, you know, funny. Yeah. Or I've also said Seinfeld for millennials. I think, you know, it kind of fits. You know, they have a lot of conversations just about everyday life and about, like, what's going on. They also talk a lot about films. They all love movies. And so there's a lot of that kind of talk in it. There's
talk
a lot
about
of,
real films? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. Reference. Yeah. Pulp Fiction. What else? Django Unchained. And, huh? There you go. Barry Lyndon. I mean, Avery, who is played by... wonderfully by Cliff. He's a huge movie buff. So him and Sam, played by Michael, they have a whole scene where that's all they do is just argue movies. Avatar and The Aviator. And yeah,
so a lot of just riffing on different themes.
Yeah, just
and
like
stuff
two
like
guys. It, very much like Clerks, you know, when they would have their back and forth about, you know, Star Wars and what, you know, if it was right to blow up the Death Star or not, you know, it's
much like Pulp Fiction.
Much like Pulp Fiction.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or really any Tarantino movie.
Yes.
Cool. And so it takes place in a movie theater. Is that
it
right?
It takes place in a movie theater. So, and actually the movie theater, you don't even see the movies. So when you come in and you're the audience, you're actually facing the audience.
So it's as if you're the movie. Or
it's
the screen is behind
you.
You
are the movie. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So you see them. You see all the menial stuff. You get to see them cleaning and sweeping and mopping, and that's their day-to-day sort of, you know, gig. which is really kind of cool. And we're going to do some cool stuff, I think, with the Come and Go. There's not been a setup like this before. In fact, we're going to use some of the, you know, where usually we have like our tech booth and stuff. Well, we're actually going to use that for set. So
that's absolutely. That's where the projector room would be. Yeah, that's
absolutely
brilliant.
Yeah. So, and we're going to turn everything around. It's just going to be a whole lot of fun. It's just really interesting.
That's awesome. I'm curious. Have you any of you guys worked at a movie theater before? Wow. Well, I did for 4 years. So if you need pointers.
Did you really?
I did.
I worked in a movie store for, or not a, you know, like a.
Like a rental place?
Yeah, rental place. I did that all through college. So like I know these guys. That's why I'm so drawn to them.
Yeah, I worked there in high school and college. And I saw the movie The Hangover 45 times just to see if I could.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't even like it that much. I just wanted to see.
You're going to come see the show and you're going to have PTSD.
Yeah. Oh, seriously. The smell of movie theater popcorn just like makes me gag.
Does it
make I still love going to the movies though. Anyway, I'd love to hear about each of you guys' respective characters. We can start at either end and go around.
Sure. Mike here playing Sam. He's the elder statesman here at the theater. He's about 35. He's been here the longest.
Is that why you're growing the beard?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I have to shave my head again, too. But, oh, man. Yeah. But so he's... hoping to kind of move up in the food chain as, of this job, but he never really can. But he still kind of acts like a manager. He you know, teaches Avery. He's the teacher for him how to do the job. And other than that, he's a very, some would say, sad character. He lives with his parents. He's in love with a coworker who's not necessarily in love with him. And he, but other than that, he really... is a good guy and means well, and first glance he might be kind of sad, but he seems a lot less once you kind of unpack him.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider living with your parents sad. There's a lot of people here that do it. I don't.
Well,
but
are you living with your parents?
No, I'm not. I'm living with myself, which is pretty wonderful. But shouldn't judge.
No, well, you'll see. You'll see.
Maybe we should judge your character.
Yeah, you'll see.
Let's keep going around the table here.
Avery, he's new to working at the Flick. He's actually, the play starts off on his first day. He's kind of a introvert. He's a very socially awkward person. Like Sean said, he's a movie buff. He kind of relates to the world through movies.
Sure, absolutely. Like a lot of people do.
Yeah. So I guess he's very relatable.
Oh my God, we just discovered something.
He's relatable to people?
Whoa, whoa. So is the Flick the name of the movie house?
Yes.
Okay, you said he was working at the Flick, so I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, and he's very passionate about film. He hates digital movies, and him and Sam have a pretty big argument about that. He doesn't really know how to make friends, though. He's kind of coming from a very like traumatic experience, and he's trying to re-enter the world and try to become a normal human being again. So he's just, that's his journey in the play, trying to become a normal person.
And he's learning the ins and outs of starting a job at the movie theater. I always like plays where it's somebody's first time in the space, so the audience sort of gets to go on the journey with them and learn the ins and outs of whatever the world is.
Mm-hmm.
It's always helpful.
Skylar is also new to working at the Flick, but he's not nearly as interested in movies as Avery is. This is certainly much more of just a job for him. He doesn't find nearly as much connection with his coworkers. He's kind of just there to get his job done, which is kind of new to some of these coworkers who think of it as their group of friends that they work with. And so he's kind of different in that way, that he's not nearly as connected with the other characters.
He's a little jaded.
Yeah.
Just kind of going through the motions.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know how that feels. That happens about 2 weeks after you start at a movie theater.
Michael also plays a dreaming man. So Michael has a couple of different roles. He'll actually be helping us out pretty much all through the play. Skylar comes in later, but he also plays some of our more interesting patrons, you know.
That's
kind
fun.
Of left in the theater.
Yeah, so what is the dreaming man? That sounds kind of interesting.
It's a man who's fallen asleep during a movie.
Oh, okay. that makes sense.
It's so much more interesting. Than
yeah, I was like, this sounds
it
really
sounds
absurd,
super
but
mysterious.
It's...
it's just a man who's fallen asleep during the movie, and that presents a challenge for Avery.
Yes, that does happen, too. That's funny. Well, let's speak to the the lone woman of the cast.
Yeah. Rose is the projectionist at the theater, and she's been there for a while now. She's kind of one of those girls that's too cool for school. She's got green hair, and she doesn't really care about how she dresses, but she comes off super standoffish and doesn't let anyone really know who she really is. But she does care deep down. I mean, she does have feelings. She's just very good about keeping them very hidden and guarded.
And I like that you called her a projectionist, because that is a dying job. I assume this is a 35 millimeter film theater, which are becoming rare. The one I worked at is also that. And it is an extensive process to load film into a projector. It's a long, tedious thing.
There's lots of talk about that, of it being a dying art, and then just the whole being a projectionist, that's arguments over that, and people wanting to do that within this that aren't that.
Yeah, the movie theater I worked at is in my hometown in Creston, and they still have that. They're also digital, but they have the old one still there. And I had the honor of meeting one of the guys that was like the first projectionist there. He's in his late 80s now, and he still comes in there and checks it out. But I remember one time I was loading the film in it, and I did it wrong and melted the film.
Oh, no.
I don't remember what movie it was. And it's a Fridley theater whose headquarters is just over there. And there's like one dude in the whole state that can fix 35 millimeter projectors now. So we had to shut down for like a week.
Wow.
That's intense.
No small task, yeah, right? Having your job. I don't envy that at all. When I worked there, like, we had like the little stupid people that like made the popcorn and took tickets. And then the projectionist, that is all they did. Like, they were the specialized person.
That comes into play here.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a big, that's a big issue here with some of the employees, because Rose does know how to do it. She's really the only one of the people that we see that knows how to do it. And she doles out that knowledge very slowly.
Well, yeah, because
it's also a point of contention.
And job security, too. You don't want to let the other people know how to do it, because it honestly is really difficult. So
yeah.
It makes me wonder if Annie Baker had worked in a movie theater, because that's a very specific sort of hierarchy that a lot of people don't realize is a thing.
Yeah, I don't know if she did. It wouldn't surprise me. How about that? It wouldn't surprise me. But, you know, I think even if you didn't work in a movie theater, there are things that are specific to this, to the show, well, just to the theater in general. But really, this is about, like, just all those people that work those minimum wage jobs. You know, those jobs are like, they're terrible. They're, you know, you're not building a career. You know, you're just coming in, you're working your 8-hour shift, your 6-hour shift, whatever it is, 4-hour shift, and, you know, going home. And that's how you're making your living, you know. Yeah. And it's nobody's dream job is at this movie theater, especially this one, because it's old and run down. And again, you know,
yeah,
digital is on the way. So there's
that's a lot
of talk about, you know, change, that kind of change there too, as well.
That's a hot debate. It really is. Is there like a projector in the show, or is there things that are being projected?
Yeah. So, there's a projector in the show, but you won't see anything that it projects.
Okay. Well, right.
So essentially, because you're facing the audience,
right,
you're the movie screen,
right,
the light would be coming, you know, see where the light is coming out, but no, there won't be any actual movies.
Okay.
Show.
So it's more of a prop.
It's sound.
Got
we'll
it.
Have some sound. We'll have lots of sound.
So we briefly touched on it, but what are some of the themes that the show deals with? You know, what are people going to be discussing and talking about once they leave?
Just relationships between people and how you interact with them and people at your job. And yeah, I mean, the show is all about relationships. So
yeah, it reminds me in one way of like Lost in Translation, and just that like these people like find their ways into each other's lives, and they're trying so desperately to connect, but they just don't know how. And then when they finally do, it just doesn't always turn out right.
Sean talked a lot about how he wondered how self-aware the characters were. And I don't think the characters are very self-aware. At least, I don't think any of them are self-aware, but they all end up learning something from each other. They all take, like, I think each character has something where it's like, oh, another character said that, and now they're kind of saying it now. So they all learn something from each other and grow from the working together. So
sounds like a very communal, maybe isn't the best word, but a very collaborative. it's an ensemble piece. Is that right? Would that be accurate to say that?
Yeah.
It's an ensemble piece.
Thanks. So at my job, my real job, I don't talk all day. This is literally the first time I've talked all day, and my brain and my mouth haven't warmed up yet. So I apologize for that. What do you want to say on the themes there, Michael?
Oh, just that it's reminded me a lot of my first jobs and made me think a lot about the coworkers that I've had and what kind of effects they've had on me. And because with a lot of it, you don't realize it as it's happening. You don't realize the effects that they're having on your work ethic, the effects that they're having on your relationships with your coworkers going forward. Because going into your first job, you might not have any idea of what to expect from your coworkers. And I think we see a lot of that in the emotional development of the characters, because they don't really know how far they're allowed to go with coworkers, how friendly they're allowed to get with coworkers, and what crosses line and what doesn't. And I think that's going to remind a lot of people of those minimum wage jobs or those first jobs that they had in high school or in college, where they're interacted with a lot of characters like this.
And your first job, never having a job before, a lot of it is trying to figure out sort of what can I get away with? You know, what do I have to do, and what can I slack off on a little bit?
And to get beyond like your first job, it'll remind you of that, but also just every day at work, you're like just talking to people and just like the way you connect. I think it's still going to be very relatable. And especially the older you get, the harder it is to make friends. And you just seeing people try so desperately, but they don't know how. I think that's always going to be, no matter your age, relatable, I think.
Yeah, everybody struggles with that for sure. Let's get down just to the nitty gritty of the show here. Yeah, exactly. I don't know if that's the right term or not. Tell us about the design elements of the show a little bit. I'm curious, or is it mostly just the seats and a wall?
Yeah, it's a movie theater. Yeah. You know, I mean, our best the best thing that we can do with that space. You know, it's a pretty short space. So, yeah, I mean, we've got seats, but you know, would it be as big as a real movie theater would be? No, but we're trying to give as best impression of that as possible, and I think it works pretty good. So essentially, when you come into the theater, we've got it so that very much like a lot of the theaters in town, where you would walk in and then you kind of go off to the side because there's a big wall in front of you. Sure. So you're going to go off to the side, you go around. But you'll take your seat on the opposite side, facing other seats.
So, oh, interesting. So yeah, you'll just walk and
make sure you don't sit on the set. And then,
because if you didn't have that wall there, you would be walking through the set to get to your seat.
Yeah. And in fact, that all of that will be our backstage area. So actually in the front of the theater. Like I said before, we'll have the upstairs where we would normally put our tech folk. That is actually going to be where our projection booth is. And so Rose is up there. That's where she, deals with the projector. There's other stuff that's kind of up there. They're all up and down those stairs that we get.
Those stairs are super steep.
Yeah,
man.
So we're looking forward to that. Well, at least, yeah, Katja's. Yeah, not.
I'm gonna get my cardio in. The couple weeks that we're running this show.
I was gonna say,
we'll put an elevator in there.
You guys haven't had. You haven't got to rehearse there yet, have you?
No. So we move in. Move in this weekend, on Sunday.
Yeah, that's no small task, even walking up those stairs, let alone running.
that will lengthen the show a little bit, I think. Waiting for her to get down safely. But
Where are you putting your tech people then?
They'll actually be back behind where the audience is sitting. So back where our normal backstage would be, that's where our crew will be.
Literally just completely flipped.
Yeah, it's just totally flipped. And we'll do some closed circuit monitoring, I think. That's how they'll keep her up.
The stage manager is going to be running blind.
Yeah. Well, you'll have an eye on the stage. We're looking at Dursky.
Lauren's just sitting here. She's like, oh, Kyle, when did you show up?
We're going to have a monitor back there. That's how you guys are going to see. And yeah.
Yes, we will.
Yes.
Use the force. Said. That didn't sound very... very confident. tell me about the designers. Who all's designing the show?
Well, this one, because it was fairly straightforward, Ian Mostrom, who is our kind of head carpenter here at Iowa Stage now, he's recently taken that job on.
Good pick, by the way.
Thank you. And he's a great guy. And he has really thrown in a lot of work there. It's been kind of a collaborative effort. Brad, myself, and Kevin, kind of all kind of working together. But there's not really a set designer on this show. I mean, we've just all kind of taken, you know, worked on it as a committee for the most part.
It's kind of so minimal, too.
Yeah, it's minimal. I mean, it's not like we need, like, you know.
There's no balcony.
There's no set change. It's a theater, you know, and there's not much more we need to do with it, you know.
So. Is there an intermission?
There is an intermission. It's a longer show.
Is it? Yeah. The script is fairly.
It's thick,
girthy.
And girthy, you know, honestly, I'll tell you this: we're not going to go this long. But the original New York production was 3.5 hours long. Yeah, we are not doing. We're not going to go near that long. But it's a longer play. I'd say it's probably going to be around. It's going to be 2:45 probably is where we've got it. 2:45, three hours with an intermission.
Okay.
So not terrible.
But it won't feel that long, right?
No, but and they did a lot, you know, and so we're trying to stick as much. She uses a lot of pauses. And I think she's really happy to write as long plays as she possibly can. And sure. She said that in interviews, but her plays just keep getting longer and longer. But it's a lot in how she writes. She writes how people kind of talk. And there's pauses and like trying to understand what other people are saying. And a lot of this is about like the connection that can be made or not made. That's where a lot of the pauses come from. So, and then there's also just the menial work of like sweeping and cleaning and all that stuff gets done.
That's my favorite stuff to watch on stage too.
Well, you're going
to
love it.
The action when there's no.
Good couple hours of that. So.
Yeah.
Well, no, because I mean that's honestly that's scary as an actor to be on stage and just doing stuff without talking.
That's
this. Feels super naked.
Yeah. But thankfully there's a lot of talking too. It's a really interesting show. I don't think people have seen this show before. Mm-hmm. I mean, this kind of show and the show it is really unique. And we're just excited to get it out there.
Great. Well, I'm super pumped to see it, and I think other people will be too. And I think you did it service by talking about it.
I hope so.
Yeah, hope so. I know so.
She's great. Her dialogue is great. The characters are great. It's fun. I know, and for even talking about how long it is, hopefully you get in there and you'll be like, how long was it? It was supposed to be, 3 hours? And it feels like one and more, you know?
So, last question. Mm-hmm. Are you guys going to have a concession stand intermission since it's a movie theater? You gonna have popcorn?
We're working on it.
Yeah.
We're working on it. We're
that
talking
needs to
about
be a
it.
Thing.
We're working with the social club. We're gonna get some emails out. We're trying.
If you need somebody that can make really good butter and salt,
call you.
Yeah,
you're hired.
I'm your man.
Bring it in.
You work for free, right?
Yeah. Yes. Clearly. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Happy Tech Week, I guess, this weekend, and look forward to opening night.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Des Moines Backstage. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. My favorite app is the Pocket Casts app. Also, if you'd like us to feature your next production as an episode of Des Moines Backstage, you can send us a message on our Facebook page. Thanks for listening.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines Backstage.
Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
Theater Podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Des Moines Backstage.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Des Moines Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage. The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.